Good to be with you another week. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, again, we are grateful to have the opportunity to share your precious word today, and we just ask you to prepare the hearts of each and every one of those who will receive the word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. As the number 13 many times is looked at as a superstitious or unlucky number, it may help you to remember that the Antichrist is talked about in chapter 13 of Revelation. Verses 1 through 10 deal with the Antichrist. And verses 11 through verse 18 to the end of the chapter 13 deals with the false prophet. What I want you to understand is that even though we are just now talking about Antichrist and the false prophet, I want you to understand that both of these men will have actually be around at the tribulation period at the very beginning of the tribulation period. Although we are at the midway point, they actually will be around at the beginning of the tribulation period. The Antichrist will be pretty much in human form as far as doing the things that he thinks that he'd like to accomplish as far as taking over the entire world government. But the second half of the tribulation period, we see that there's war in heaven, and Satan and his angels lose. They're cast to the earth. They know they have but a short time. So we see then that we believe that the devil will actually possess the Antichrist, and that would certainly account for the Antichrist receiving a deadly wound, which he may receive from trying to subdue the three kings of the ten kings. He will try to subdue three of them, and probably will receive his deadly wound during that campaign, in which he will actually die and be resurrected. And he will, of course, counterfeit everything that Jesus has done. And we believe that that would be another reason for Satan's possession of him to bring him back to life. We know that only the Lord has these powers, but we know in this situation, the Lord has extended those powers and allowed Satan to do these things. And the Apostle Paul spoke of it in Thessalonians. He said that they should believe the lie. Of course, we know the devil is the lie. We believe the Antichrist is the lie. And of course, the Lord will allow them to be delusion in a delusion called the lie. And Paul said that it was even at work in his day, meaning the Antichrist or rebellion against God was even happening in his day. Okay, so that brings us to chapter 11. Of chapter 13. As a bit of an introduction, the Lord Jesus predicted in the last days that there should arise Christ and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That was taken from Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. There have been many false prophets that have already arisen, and though many exist in our present day, there has never been quite the fulfillment to our Lord's prediction like that which will happen during the tribulation period. Man was created by God in the image of God, and so he has the tendency to want to worship. And so a world dictator will provide that outlet for his religious inclination. We've already seen that the Antichrist will come on the scene during the tribulation period, and I believe that, of course, that will take place in the very beginning, when he signs a peace agreement with Israel. And I believe the false prophet will have something to do with that as well. He will encourage the people to go along with him. The false prophet will act like a lamb, but he has two horns, as we will see. So he will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. We will soon see, when we study Revelation chapter 17, about the ecumenical church. And the church will exert power. She will, and she being the harlot, riding the beast, will dominate the Antichrist during the first 3.5 years, while the Antichrist is solidifying his power of his empire. The Antichrist resents the harlot, and he attempts to throw her off, and we see that that actually happens in the midway tribulation part, that she will be thrown off. He destroys her in the middle of the tribulation period, and he sets up his own form of worship, of which this brings in the false prophet. This is what the false prophet's job is, to propagate that worship. The devil will provide this special man who will be the false prophet. And the beast that comes up out of the earth will be the false prophet. We see two beasts in this chapter. The first beast comes up out of the sea, and that would be Antichrist. The second beast that we see comes up out of the earth. He's taken from the earth, so he is the false prophet. And because he's taken out of the earth in the area of the Mediterranean Sea, we believe that he will be a Jew. He will be a Jew. He will also be responsible for making those on the earth receive a mark. The first beast is a government leader called the Antichrist, who will set himself up as God. And the second one is the religious leader who will incite men to worship the Antichrist. And so that brings us to verse 11, if you're following with me. In chapter 13, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So we see here in these two verses, there are five different characteristics that is the role of the false prophet. The first one we see, he beheld a beast coming up out of the earth. His coming up out of the earth indicates he does not come up out of the sea of peoples, as does the first beast, the Antichrist. So he is not of mixed nationality. He comes up out of the earth around Palestine. So that indicates that he is a Jew, an apostate Jew at that. We say apostate because he's not a true Jew in the sense of how he believes. And during the first 3.5 years, he will help Israel to make a covenant with the Antichrist. And he will deceive them by hiding his apostasy until the middle of the tribulation period, at which time he serves his purpose by revealing his apostate beliefs and his practices. Secondly, we see he had two horns like a lamb. The Lord Jesus often referred to in the Gospels, in the book of Revelation, as the Lamb of God. And as such, he has taken away the sins of the world. The false prophet coming on the earth looks like a lamb, but he has two horns. Now we know that lambs do not have horns. The horns are symbols of authority. The lamb is a symbol of meekness and mildness. The Lord Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Beware of false prophets that come unto you as wolves in sheep's clothing." The false prophet will come to Israel in sheep's clothing, but God says he is a beast. Thirdly, he spake as a dragon. It suggests that he gets his power of speech from the devil, who, as we found in chapter 12, is the dragon. This false prophet will deceive men as if he was a lamb, but really he speaks the words of Satan. Satan is not against religion. He is against a personal faith in Jesus Christ. The beast will be one of the chief spokesmen in the Holy Land for the ecumenical power in Revelation chapter 17 when we talk about the ecumenical church. Fourthly, he exerciseth all the power or the authority of the first beast before him. We can see this relationship between these two world leaders, and it's seen in the fact that he is given power by the Antichrist himself. His whole purpose is to complete dominance of the earth by the Antichrist, a form of religion that says that is satisfactory to the Antichrist, at least in the first 3.5 years. And then fifthly, and causes the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast. His purpose and operation with all this Antichrist power and demonic speech will be to drive men to worship the Antichrist. And when indwelt by Satan in the midst of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be so deceived about himself that he will deem himself to be in the form of God and will desire to be worshiped. And that will be propagated by the second beast or the false prophet. He could well be described as the high priest of the Antichrist religious system during the tribulation period. I want to show you the three satanic trinity. We see the dragon or the devil himself impersonating God the Father. Then we see the first beast, the Antichrist, impersonating Jesus Christ. And then the second beast imitating the Holy Spirit, which is the false prophet. So he imitates the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the supernatural powers of the false prophet. None of the false teachers to this time have ever possessed the supernatural powers that will be shown or exhibited by the false prophet on behalf of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. So here is a description of his powers. And he doeth great wonders. The word wonders is translated in the American Standard Version as signs. It's the same word employed by the Apostle John in the gospel that bears his name, describing the very ministry of Jesus. It's translated when used in verse 14 as miracles. So it shouldn't come as any surprise to those who have been students of prophecy. The devil has great power. When Moses threw down his rod before Pharaoh, remember, it turned into a serpent. The false prophets of Pharaoh were also empowered to make their rods turn into serpents. And thus they duplicated the miracles of Moses. But God caused Moses' serpent to eat up the other serpents, showing his supremacy over all wicked powers. The Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, will have the power to perform signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It doesn't seem surprising that the false prophet will be able to reproduce everything that the special witnesses of God described in Revelation chapter 11, that they can also do. Looking on further in the verse, he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. The fire test of Elijah, remember, the prophet, which proved to the children of Israel that the prophets of Baal were powerless to communicate with God. And it will probably be repeated during the tribulation period, and that might be one of the reasons for the coming of Elijah at that particular time. We know that Satan is a real force behind the false prophet, bringing fire down from heaven. We've seen this recorded in Job chapter 1 and verse 16, where Satan caused fire to come down from heaven and burn Job's sheep. And so we believe that when this fire is called down during the tribulation period, it will cause many to think that surely this is the Messiah, and will cause many to be deceived because of this great wonder. He will cause an image of the Antichrist to be built and will have power to give life unto the image of the beast. That's referred to as the false prophet, verse 14 and 15. In the very midst of the tribulation period, the Antichrist has now been slain and he's resurrected. The false prophet will cause men to build an image, much like Nebuchadnezzar's image, and will demand that it be worshipped. We don't know by what mysterious means he will give life to the image. Probably it will be some way of being computer generated, but it will certainly look like the image is alive and is speaking. The only characteristic that we see is that he'll be able to speak, so that could certainly be done by a computer. The Antichrist and the dragon himself, he will issue an order that all who do not worship him will be killed. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, tells us that many will be slain by the guillotine. It's a very similar scene to what happened in the children of Israel as a result of Nebuchadnezzar's image. We see again an order that will be given that those who do not bow down and worship him will be killed. And they, those, of course, at that time were put into a fiery furnace as opposed to the guillotine. And of course, they would not bow, neither would they burn. And we've seen how that worked. The Lord provided them safety, even in the midst of the fiery furnace. There are many things that coincide with the middle of the tribulation period. One of which is Satan's persecution of the nation of Israel. It could possibly be that the persecution awakens Israel to the fact that the Antichrist is in fact their enemy. It may, however, be the disclosure of the false prophet's true theological persuasion that might awaken Israel. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of Moses in Deuteronomy 13, determined the test of all prophets. It was not sufficient to regard the manifestation of supernatural power alone, but to hear what the prophet said. And if the prophet declared, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God testeth you, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. So we see where the false prophet erects, has an idol of worship erected to try to get Israel to worship him. So we see in the first half of the tribulation period, the false prophet goes along with the Antichrist to encourage them to sign a peace treaty. But it's the second half of the tribulation period where we see the problems unraveling, of course, as well as the seven bowls that will be poured out during this particular time as well. So that would bring us then to verse 16 through 18. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. So I'd like to just spend a little more time here, particularly with this verse, which deals with the mark of the beast. There's always been somewhat of a lot of information people have been interested in the mark of the beast. What is it? What and what it is not? During this time, the people will be allowed to select one of two different places for the mark, either in their right hand or in their forehead. When Cain slew Abel, God put a mark on Cain to protect him. And since the days of Moses, the Jews have worn small leather pouches called phylacteries on their left hands, and also straps were tied around their foreheads. The phylacteries contain small pieces of parchment with important passages of scripture written on them. And when they wear them, they are symbolically placing the word of God on their hands and on their foreheads. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, we read about an angel of God that will mark the 144,000 Jews on their foreheads. In chapter 14, we'll see that they have the name of the Father on their foreheads, just as Christians are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So will the false prophet seal his servants. No one will be exempt. Laws will be enacted to identify and punish those who do not support the world government. To have food and medicine will be counted as a privilege. Those who cooperate will receive these privileges, and those who refuse will be denied. Taking a mark will be like buying a license to transact business. Merchants will need it to sell their goods. Those who want to visit a doctor or a specialist will need to get in order to get treatment. Control over the necessities of life amounts to control over people. And with this in the grasp, the false prophet will force people to worship the image of the beast. And in this way, he will merge the church and the state. Many prophecy students see the ultimate result of the mark of the beast as a cashless society. We certainly is no denying of how much today we do without cash, and even more so since this pandemic. Today, the governments of the world want to eliminate coins and paper money so all transactions can be tracked electronically. In this way, computers will have the ability to track all buying and all selling, and cash purchases will be eliminated. The mark of the beast is not my number, nor is it your number, or is it the number of anyone that can be identified at this particular time. It's not my driver's license number. It's not my Social Security number. It's not a national ID number or anything like that. It's not a different number for different people. It will be the same mark. It'll be the same name. It'll be the same number for everyone. It is the mark, name, or number of the Antichrist. And those who take the mark are accepting the Antichrist as God. They are choosing the beast over Jesus Christ and refusing God's offer of salvation, mercy, forgiveness, and love. And this will be the end of their opportunities to be saved. Everything that's needed in the form of chips and systems to enforce the mark is now available today. Newer and more powerful chips and scanners and computers are certainly on the horizon. In 2005, in response to Islamic terrorism, the United States Senate passed the Real ID Act that forces states to transform driver's license numbers into a national ID number and send information to a national database to be linked to databases in other countries. This will help nations track terrorists, criminals, and missing persons, and those who are buying and selling weapons, explosives, airline tickets, and much, much more. One company is producing a radio frequency identification tag that are now going on almost everything that's being made. Large corporations and trade organizations are pushing to have these tags standardized all over the world so that any one tag can be read by any scanner on Earth. They're pushing for a standardized barcode and think they found it in the European article numbering code. It's more than interesting to students of Bible prophecy that these groups have selected the code used by the group of nations that will produce the Antichrist. And the person who pays for an item with a check, credit card, or thumb scan, or eye scan will forever have their name and all kinds of information linked to that particular item that they are purchasing. Some international financial experts are saying the coming one world government will have its own one world currency. The global government will force people to use it by making it illegal to buy and sell in any currency except the one world currency. And every transaction will include one's national global ID number. Biometric payment, referred to shortly as BioPay, are systems that are gaining wider acceptance and use. These systems use fingerprint and eye scan technology to debit purchases from their customers' bank accounts. They offer great protection against identity theft and relieve the customer from carrying checks or credit cards. Businesses receive their money immediately, with the added advantage of not ever getting stuck with any bad checks. In the future, the push of a computer button will provide a list of those who take the mark and those who do not. I will give you a list of reasons for the mark. First reason is to counterfeit the mark God will give the 144,000 Jews. Second, to extend favors to those who support the world government. Thirdly, to identify and eliminate opposition to the world government. Fourthly, to track and control commerce. Fifthly, to force people to stop worshiping Jesus Christ, to force people to worship Antichrist. And seventhly, to permanently tie people to the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so that brings me to verse 18, the Mark 666. Here is wisdom. Let him who understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The first thing we need to see and note that this verse calls for wisdom. Many are trying to figure out what the Antichrist is. They lose all sight of that word, wisdom. The Antichrist cannot exist until after Israel has become a nation, because he will sign a covenant with them. So obviously, those who believed that he was Hitler or Mussolini had overlooked this important detail. In my opinion, the Antichrist will rise to power in Europe because Daniel told of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, and he said the Antichrist will come out of those people. And this is why he cannot be an American. And those who identified the American Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, do you remember that? But we must remember the Antichrist will not be revealed until after the rapture. So we are already in the balconies of heaven. So there'll be no need for us to identify this man. Those who think they'll be able to identify him are now certainly overlooking this situation. People eventually will be able to identify him in the future, but the wisdom will be needed. All pieces of the puzzle will have to fall together in order for them to do that. So the verse tells us that those who are in the rapture will not have to worry about this. Those remaining behind, however, will have to calculate the number, for it is the number of man. It equals 666. There's two things that are important here. It's how to calculate the number and why it is 666. To calculate the number, we need to know that things have changed since the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. In our modern world, we have two sets of symbols, the alphabet and numbers. We use these two systems. A letter is a letter, and a number is a number. In the ancient world, they did not do this. They used a single set of symbols to represent both letters and numbers. And such a system is called alphanumeric system. Every number is a letter, and every letter is a number. In the alphanumeric system, every word has a numerical value. Every sentence has a numeric value. Every paragraph has a numeric value. And so the same is true of every name. Every name has a numeric value. And so this is how to calculate the number of the name of Antichrist. It will be 666 in somebody's alphanumeric system. Many scientists are studying the mathematical structure of the Bible with computers today. All of them are finding remarkable mathematical patterns. It is quite possible that someone will unlock this mystery with a computer by the time that the Antichrist will arrive. Concerning why the Antichrist's name will be equal 666 is certainly another matter of speculation. The most common answer centers around the fact that 6 is the number of man, 7 is the number of God, 8 is the number of Jesus. Man was created on the 6th day, the Creator rested on the 7th day, and the Redeemer of creation rose on the 8th day. These numbers in their triplicate are 666, 777, and 888. That concludes our chapter 13. We will pick up chapter 14, Lord be willing, next Sunday. We would like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, if there's any that have listened to this message today, have not received you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will invite you to come and live in their heart and ask you to help them to live this life. In the life that we now live, we can live by the faith of you who died and loved us. We thank you for, again, another opportunity to share your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.